Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
With us for our weekly Monday house call, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great.
You know what? I'm doing really good because I had a great nap yesterday afternoon, and even though I didn't get that much sleep last night, I feel like my immune system got a boost with extra napping time. I don't know if that's medically correct, but I feel good.
Well, Bob, it is medically correct. I mean, we always minimize or we don't think of the importance of sleep in our immune system, but it is very important. So take this opportunity for people who are working from home. They get less travel time. They can actually probably get an extra hour or two of sleep. So
yeah,
we should definitely take advantage of it.
Well, are you ready to tackle a lightning round of virus questions this morning?
Absolutely.
Okay. A lot of people supported their favorite restaurant over the weekend, which is a great thing, but there are more questions and concerns about preparing food, how it's transported, we're picking it up, the containers. What can you tell us about that?
And I do think, I liked how you opened up that comment, the importance of, supporting these local restaurants. We have to understand that, they're undergoing a lot of financial burden right now. We hope that on the other end, they come up and they're open. So a couple things about it. One, if you're overly concerned, great. Put gloves on when it's delivered to your home. Take it out of the package without touching any of the packages. Put it on your plate. And then discard the packaging. So if you wear gloves the entire time and then wash your hands, you'll be fine. Probably the more important thing is that all these restaurants are telling the individuals who are delivering for them as well as working to stay home if they're ill. So the incident of a possible transfer onto these materials is very low. It would have to be an asymptomatic person who either coughed or sneezed. If they're not having symptoms, it would lower. But the concern that everyone has, because the study's already been done, is that the virus can live 24 hours on cardboard and can live 2 to 3 days on plastic and stainless steel. So if you want to be overly protective, do exactly what I just said. Wear gloves on, put it onto your plate, discard the material it came in, and you should be fine.
There is a lot of misinformation going around. We have more time to be online, but social media can be incorrect many times as well. And there was a video that was going around, supposedly a Chinese doctor talking about how hot water, hot lemon juice, lemon water can help prevent COVID-19. Is there anything to that?
No, not at all. So hot water, hot lemon juice, we've been talking about the importance of vitamin C for weeks now as we've been telling people to try to increase their immune system as much as they can. Unfortunately, when you have incidents like this, the internet is a great place to either promote or do whatever you want as far as throwing out cures. So I can tell you, if you look right now, the ones that we're hearing the most of, garlic, lemon, vinegar, salt water, all of those, can maybe help your throat a little bit, but they're not going to eliminate the virus. So I'd be extremely careful, and there's another one, Bob, going around about a hair dryer, using a hair dryer into your nose and throat. Don't do these things. They're not going to help. And go back to your basics of washing hands, social distancing, eating properly. Those are what we're going to do. There's not going to be a take some lemons and this is going to cure this. If there were, they would have figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah, really. And another story out there today, headline, being obese raises the coronavirus risk. I would assume that, if you're obese, that does affect your health. So there might be something to that, right?
Correct. So I don't think it's going to be just the sheer fact of obesity, although that is very interesting how they're looking at it. But I can tell you that most individuals who are obese have type 2 diabetes. So they are diabetics, mainly because their insulin doesn't work as well as we put on weight. So that, along with many of them have heart disease as well, could be the vulnerable population that we're looking at and not so much obesity. But that is something that they're studying is Is it the obesity? Is it the amount of weight? Or is it the underlying health condition that some individuals have with obesity?
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. A lot of confusion, Doc, about masks and whether we should be wearing them. What's the deal with the N95 mask? And I know the CDC has not recommended that people wear masks for everyday activities, have they?
No, they really haven't. You know, the mask that is going to protect you from getting the illness is the N95, and they are in short supply across this entire country. So for us, saving them for physicians when needed, for first responders, that's what's really important. The individual you see walking around the street with an N95 is doing the wrong thing for all of us. Now, that being said, the people that are wearing surgical masks and knit surgical masks, a couple things. It doesn't protect them a lot from the virus, to be honest with you, because it's not tight-fitting. They could still inhale. However, it stops them from touching their nose. It stops them from touching their face, which is one of the ways that we actually get this, as our hand has the virus on it and we bring it to our face. So it is some protection, but probably not as much as people think.
And, of course, if you're constantly adjusting the mask, you're going to be touching your face more than you should, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So do I have this right? All the evidence suggests that there really is no benefit to wearing a mask if you're not infected. Do I have that right?
Yeah. I mean, the goal right now is for anybody who has a cough. Well, right now we're saying anybody who has any symptoms, please stay home. But if you have a cough, if you have symptoms, wearing that type of mask will at least stop the distance that you're going to spew the virus, we'll say. So individuals who are ill, absolutely wearing a mask is helpful. Individuals are healthy, you're getting a false sense of security that it's protecting you.
Another question many people have, how common are asymptomatic carriers? Is it possible some people have the virus and never get sick, but still pass it along to others who become ill?
Yep, 100%. So we know that there's asymptomatic carriers, but we don't know how many. Why? Because we haven't had the testing capabilities in this country to be able to test as widely as they had in countries like South Korea. So we are telling everybody right now, assume that you are positive and do everything you possibly can. Social distancing, all the things that we've been harping on right now. Assume you're positive, because we know that individuals can have very, very mild symptoms to all the way to extreme, you know, critical symptoms. So we know that there's people with little sniffle or actually minimal symptoms that are any that are still would test positive, and they can spread. So they blow their nose, even though they have minimal symptoms, you know, they can do it. So the biggest thing right now, you know, the shelter in place, minimize your exposure to vulnerables, because we can't tell you whether you have it.
These days, if you're not feeling quite right and you want to take an aspirin, what's the best? Advil, Tylenol?
Yeah, so, you know, the studies that are coming out of Europe, or the issues that are coming out of Europe, show that Advil may not be the best for this. So Advil, Motrin are probably not good. The ibuprofens, so generic ibuprofen are either those trade names. So for any aches, pains, or fevers, I would say take Tylenol right now. It's the one that appears to be the safest. Just to be better safe than sorry, I would say refrain from Advil at this time. That being said, we have people with arthritis that say, hey, I need my Advil to be mobile because of the anti-inflammatory portion of it. Then it's the balance of the risk versus the benefit.
A lot of folks have been helping out by giving blood. It's needed at this time. Dave and Mary did that the other day. This is an interesting question, though. Text from 630. Would you be able to ask Dr. Most about blood donations? I know it's needed, but if you have anemia, can you give blood? I've heard conflicting reports.
Yeah, and first of all, thanks, you know, to Mary. I know I saw a picture of her giving blood. That we definitely need that. If you think about all the blood drives that have recently been canceled, we are still having individuals in car accidents. We are still having major surgeries that need blood. So please look out there. The blood collection agencies are all being very careful about social distancing and about cleaning the equipment. getting to the question as far as anemia, it really will depend on what the anemia is caused by and how low the anemia is. So we're going to make sure that we're not going to take blood from somebody who actually needs it. So, you know, if normal hemoglobin, 12 grams, you know, you come in and you're at 8 or 9 grams, we're going to be a little concerned, and we would probably turn you away at that point. But please, for those individuals who are young and healthy and can give blood, right now is a great time to do that.
It's 6:52. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most. Another question that we got on the text line from 847. My dad lives with me. He's 87. This coming Friday, it'll be 2 weeks since we have been in a public place or around anyone else. After the 2 weeks, can we be sure we won't show symptoms or have the coronavirus?
Well, here's the problem. The 2 weeks you're talking about right now were only to protect you from potentially having it. So an 87-year-old, unfortunately, in my opinion, should not be out in any public space right now. Going out for walks, getting fresh air, doing things outside along around your home, perfect as long as you can social distance. Just because you lasted the 2 weeks, I would not go back into an environment where a grocery store or somewhere where you could pick up this virus for an 87-year-old. So the 2 weeks are great to show that 2 weeks ago you probably didn't have it and you didn't get exposed to anybody. That clock resets as soon as you go back into a very public area or get exposed to a large crowd.
I've been in quite a few stores where they're giving out plastic gloves. So if you put the gloves on, then you do your shopping, are you supposed to throw those gloves out then after you do that?
Correct. So the assumption is you walk in with clean hands, you put gloves on, anything you touch while you're in there is protected from getting to your hand, you get rid of the glove, your hands are clean, then you go home and wash your hands again. So it's being overcautious, but it certainly is a good thing to consider. If the stores are doing it, I applaud them. And I also applaud the stores, Bob, that right now that are stopping hoarding, that are saying, you know, you can only buy one of these. We need more for everybody.
Yeah, and in many cases, the shelves may be empty, but check with the clerk behind the counter because they're putting some of those items, like hand sanitizers, behind the counter so they can control how many people can buy. So if you see the bare shelf, well, they may still have that product you're looking for. Be sure and ask behind the counter. A lot of people, Doc, are wondering about medical appointments. We have a question from the 224 area code. My husband has a doctor's appointment for a lingering cough. Is it too risky to go? Too risky for the wife to accompany him?
Yeah, so there's a couple answers in that question. So, one, we are trying to minimize all visits to doctors for actually medical conditions where a physical examination needs to happen. So if there's a medical condition where it's more cognitive, where let me see what your medications are, tell me your symptoms, tell me your, and we can do vital signs, those are the ones that we're going to try to do those telephonically to keep people out. Someone that has a lingering cough, I would say talk to your doctor. Chances are he is going to hold on that. He may decide to do some testing, but right now I would say anybody who's going to the doctor, check with your doctor because a lot of the policies are changing in physician offices as far as who they want to see in the office and who they will essentially, quote-unquote, treat over the phone.
If someone has symptoms of COVID-19, mild symptoms, tolerable symptoms, is it necessary to seek medical care? And then if the case isn't severe enough for that, how long would the symptoms normally last?
Yep. So if you have mild symptoms right now, do not seek medical care because there is no medical care. We are going to tell you to go home, isolate yourself, and do all the things that you would do as if you were to have a bad cold or influenza. As far as how long it lasts, it again depends on your immune system, right? Some people have very mild symptoms and they're over this very quickly. Others are a little bit more serious. As far as shedding the virus after it lasts, we're not even sure yet in many people, but we want to make sure that you're totally asymptomatic. In other words, no coughing, no sneezing, no fevers, which would show that the virus at least has hit its peak in you. That, coupled with social distancing, washing your hands, will help us dampen this curve that we're talking about and make sure that the spread does not go further. So anybody who has mild symptoms, the last place we want you is at a doctor's office where there might be vulnerable population or actually even out in the public at this time.
All right, Doc, you've passed the test. I'm glad you were paying attention in med school. We'll be checking in with you from time to time. Always appreciate the good information you give us.
You got it, Bob. Hang in there.
Yep, we're all trying.